So please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I would like to preach or bring this message on verse 21, just the first half. And we've discussed verses 21 and 22 at length in our meetings at church.
Join the meeting.
But we're going to now look at just this first part of the sentence. And after I read it in the New American Standard Bible, I will read it in four other versions. Let's pray. Lord, again, we praise you for your word and pray that you would shed light on your word as we consider this very wonderful verse that can be so helpful to us in these times. Lord, we pray that you would bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ecclesiastes 7:21 says also, do not take seriously all words which are spoken. Now, just let me, for comparison's sake, read four other versions. The New King James Version says, also, do not take to heart everything people say. This is a legitimate translation. Do not take to heart. Also, the ESV, do not take to heart all the things that people say. And then the NIV and the Christian Standard Bible translated a little differently. Do not pay attention to every word people say. And the Christian Standard Bible, don't pay attention to everything people say. Well, this is God's word to us. It's an interesting command. It is a command. And it tells us that we need to think about the words that people say. And that's what I hope to do in this message. So let's first talk about the verse portion before us. Notice it's part of verses 21 and 22. So there is a context here, but it is the imperative part of these two verses. So after this statement, do not take to heart all words which are spoken or everything which people say, there are two reasons given for the command.
The first is,
can everybody mute themselves, please? That would be great. So the first reason is, you have realized that you likewise have many times cursed others. And I'm sorry, the first part is lest you hear your servant cursing you. And the second reason for the command is you have realized that you likewise have many times cursed others. And we had some fun discussions in at church on this and the servant aspect and all the rest. And although the context is valuable here, sometimes a passage just stands on its own. And so this passage is one of them. In other words, the first part of verse 21 is a universal command of wisdom. Do not take seriously everything that people say. Now, there's a cross-reference, don't have to turn to it, Proverbs 30 and verse 10, which relates to the servant part, and I'll just read that. There, Solomon says, do not slander a slave to his master, or he will curse you and you will be found guilty. That cross-reference relates to the part of the verse that we're not talking about this morning, but I just wanted to mention. So we can safely leave these two qualifying phrases tossed to the side for our purpose today and just consider practicing the command portion of verse 21. So I'm calling this a universal wisdom command. It's not a law, because this is in the wisdom literature of the Bible. Ecclesiastes is a wisdom book. So we'll call it a universal wisdom command. It's a command of wisdom. You might as well just as well be found in the book of Proverbs, because Proverbs has many commands in that sense, but they're wisdom. They're not law. They're wisdom. So it's not saying that we shouldn't listen to what people say. It's just saying we shouldn't take to heart everything that people say, or we have to weigh what people say before we take it to heart. So we need to do some thinking. We need to do some praying. Now, the larger context of the book of Ecclesiastes, as you know, is this idea of Hebel, The Hebrew word hebel, which is used numerous times, it's often translated vanity or futility, and these are not the best translations. The word hebel means vapor or something that's transient, like the wind. It's like trying to catch the wind. Solomon actually talks about this in a couple of verses in this book, where he says, catching the wind, trying to catch it. As Kyle put it, and I've mentioned this several times, but it's so helpful, I'll mention it again. He calls it ceaseless change with perpetual sameness. That's the idea that you find in the book of Ecclesiastes, that life is always changing, like the wind. And yet it's always the same. That's where the idea of futility comes in. But this relates to our verse, I think, more than the context of verses 20 and 21, the larger context of the hebel. If life is hebel, if life is transient, if life is like a vapor, if life is like trying to catch the wind, so then are many of the words that people speak. In fact, he says this in chapter 6, if you want to turn back there, verse 11. Chapter 6 and verse 11. But there are many words which increase hebel. What then is the advantage? For who knows what is good for a man during his lifetime, during the few years of his futile life? He will spend them like a shadow, for who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? So this is the point, that words can also be like vapor. And that's why you shouldn't take every word that people say to heart. Hence, or in conclusion, there is no need, and it is not good or wise, to take to heart every word that is spoken. That's the simple message of verse 21. Do not take to heart all words which are spoken, or every word that people say. Don't let yourself be affected by everything and every word that people say. It increases the frustration or trying to catch the wind of life. Frustration is a good term in translating hebel. Not futility, not vanity, but frustration, because this ceaseless change, the perpetual sameness, is frustrating. It's frustrating to the ungodly because they have no purpose in life, or they don't understand God's purpose for their lives. But it can be frustrating for God's people. Without the Lord's help and without his Spirit filling us, life can be frustrating even for us. And so can the words of people be frustrating. If we give attention to everything that everybody says and everything that we hear out there, especially these days, it can be very frustrating. And God doesn't want us to be frustrated. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to be certain. So let's look at the verse now in more detail. And then I'm going to give you four areas of counsel. So looking at the verse again, more closely or closer, the Hebrew translated word, verse 21, all words which are spoken. The Hebrew word, dabar, which means word, has a broad range of meaning. It can refer to a word. It can also refer to a subject matter, a matter, or a thing like a subject matter, a particular topic. It could also refer to a speech or a discourse or some discussion. You hear people discussing something and you get involved in listening to it. And then the temptation is to just take it to heart without serious consideration. Or it can also refer, as it does in many places in the Bible, to advice or counsel. Someone, like Psalm 1, speaks about not listening to the advice of the ungodly. So it could be advice, it could be counsel. So taking all of these things together, we translate verse 21, do not take every word every subject, every discussion to your heart. That is, don't take it seriously, necessarily, seriously. Now, Solomon is not misstating the case, or this is not an overstatement. This is not an exaggeration. This is not an emotional or a non-rational response to the futility of life, frustration of life. It's a part of wisdom, part of the positive message and the purpose of Ecclesiastes, which I've mentioned many times in our studies, our previous studies. The verse is not saying that we shouldn't listen to what people say. The verse is not saying that we should just close our ears to everything that people are saying. It's not saying that at all. Please don't draw that conclusion. That would be false. It's a warning about what we do with what we hear that people say. And it may even be, I think it is also related to how much we listen to. It's legitimate at times to say, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. But it's okay to listen. The issue is, as you see in verse 21, the taking it seriously or taking it to heart. That's the issue you have to decide. It's not saying that you should never take seriously anything that anyone says. Not saying that. Notice again, it says, do not take seriously or take to heart all words which are spoken, which implies that you need to sift through what people are saying. Sometimes you may conclude that I don't need to sift through all of this. I'm just as fine without hearing this at all. Because if we take it to heart, if you take it seriously, means that what you're hearing is something you need to act upon. It's something you need to respond to. There's an imperative there. You need to respond to this. You need to act upon this. You need to change something. And the verse is warning against drawing that conclusion. Be careful before you do that. Don't take it to heart. Don't take it seriously. Don't take it as absolute truth. Don't take it as a call to action, or worse, a reason to fear. For there are a lot of voices out there that want us to fear for different reasons. So, having looked at the verse, first part of the verse, in some detail, let me now set before you four areas of counsel regarding this wisdom command. And they are, I'll tell you the four up front, and then we'll look at them one by one. So before you take all words that are spoken to heart, or before you take them seriously, number one, consider the source. Number two, consider the circumstances. Number three, consider the spirit of the person or the people speaking. And number four, consider the use or the usefulness of the words that you're hearing. So consider the source, consider the circumstances, consider the spirit of the person or the people speaking, consider the usefulness of what you're hearing. But first of all, and I think most important, is the source. Is it God or is it man speaking? Now, if it's man speaking, it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, but it's a whole lot different than God speaking. Let's talk about God's words and man's words. Is it God or man speaking? Consider the source. Because it's implied here that you should take seriously and you should take to heart all the words that God speaks. Let's think about God's words. God's words must always be taken to heart. That is, seriously. I love the way Jesus put it, and you might say this is the best explanation of taking God's word seriously, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 44, when he said to his disciples, let these words sink into your ears. It's a good description of taking something seriously. But there are so many other references in God's word to this, listening and considering seriously God's words. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart. Psalm 119 and verse 42. I trust in your word. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Your word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119 and verse 147. I wait for your words. Psalm 119 and verse 148. I meditate on your word. Contrast to man's word. Verse 160. The sum of your word is truth. The sum of man's words is not always true. But the sum of God's words is truth. Psalm 119. Words that we wait for, words that are settled in heaven. Man's words are often unsettled. Man's words are often unsettling. Man's word cannot always be trusted. Man's words are not to be treasured in our hearts, but God's word is. In Matthew 4, in verse 4, Jesus said, reminding of Deuteronomy 8, that it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is not true of man's words across the board. We don't live by man's words. We live by God's words. Again, this doesn't mean we shouldn't listen to what people say. But we don't derive our life from them. Jesus also said in John 6 and verse 63, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Back to Psalm 119 again. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. This is not always true of man's words. Sometimes it is. We'll talk about kind words that people speak, which are a blessing to us. But this is always true of God's words. Jeremiah put it this way in Jeremiah 15, 16. He said, your words were found, and I did eat them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. And finally, Proverbs 30 and verse 5 reminds us that every word of God is tested. So when we think of this verse here in Ecclesiastes 7, do not take to heart all words which are spoken. I'm starting with this. I could have put this at the end as the application, but wherever you put it, in the beginning or at the end, is insignificant. Because the verse does say something about the words that we are to take seriously, and those are God's words. So let me just say a few things about man's words. Well, first of all, right in this book, there's a reference in chapter 5, verse 7. Please look back in chapter 5. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 7. For in many dreams and in many words, there is hebel, or vanity, or emptiness, It's hebel, vapor, frustration. For in many dreams and in many words, there is frustration. Rather, fear God. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Referring to man's words, Solomon said, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. In Proverbs 16 and verse 27, a worthless man digs up evil while his words are like scorching fire. So when we consider the source, the first thing we ask ourselves, is this God speaking or man speaking? Is it God speaking through a man? Is someone relating to us what the scripture teaches? Then we should by all means give careful attention to what that person is saying to us. Is someone trying to help us to understand God's words in their advice or counsel to us or their encouragement? Then by all means, we should take those words to heart. Is man expressing his own opinion? Well, we may need to take that opinion to heart, but we have to carefully sift through it. So this is the first thing that we do when we consider the source of the words. But another thing that we do is consider whether it is someone close to us or distant, someone who knows us or someone out there in the world. Because if it's someone who knows us, then more likely we will give more careful attention to what that person is saying. Because there will be some connection in the speaker and you, the hearer. But there are many words out there in the world and on the internet and everywhere that should not affect us so seriously because they are not close to us. So that's my first word of advice, is to consider the source. The second word of advice is to consider the circumstances of what is being said. Do not take to heart everything which people are saying. So consider the circumstances of what you're hearing. First thing to ask is, can you trust the facts of what this person is saying? Is this voice or voice is trustworthy? So you must ask yourself about the facts in the circumstances. Secondly, ask yourself, is this the opinion of a person or a group that you're listening to? If it's an opinion, then you can consider it. You can put it to the test. But if it's only an opinion, you should check it out. You should check out other opinions so that you don't take to heart every word which is spoken. The third word of advice, consider the source, consider the circumstances. My third word of advice is to consider the spirit of the person or the people speaking. Well, this is a really important one because sometimes people who are speaking to us are antagonistic toward us. They may be our enemies. And therefore, we may not give. Sometimes an enemy may have something to say to us, or there may be in what they're saying to us a kernel of truth. But those who are our enemies will speak words that generally we do not need to take to heart. Is the person antagonistic toward you? Is the person cynical about you? Is the person who's speaking to you or the people speaking to you only based on your past without considering your present state and grace or growth? If they are only going by your past, then you don't need to take everything they say to heart. You can just let it. If it's Hebel, then it's like the wind. And you should treat it that way. You should just let it pass by. So that's the first thing. When you consider the spirit of the person or the people speaking to you, is the person antagonistic toward you or cynical about you? No one in life gets anywhere in counsel or in sharing of ideas unless there is goodwill between the parties. If there is no goodwill, then no progress would ever be made. And that's why it's always best to stay away from arguments, even with those whom you love. Stay away from arguments because arguments do not accomplish any good. So consider the spirit of the person or the people speaking. First, is the person antagonistic toward you or cynical about you? Or on the other side of it, or the opposite end of the spectrum, does the person seem thoughtful, inquiring, and kind toward you? If so, you will more likely listen to what that person is saying and take those words to heart. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12. Turn there, please. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12. Words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of his talking is folly, and the end of it is wicked madness. Yet the fool multiplies words. So this verse is applicable to the one that we're studying, because it's speaking about what people say. It's comparing the words of the fool and the wise man. Generally speaking, the words of fools, we do not need to take seriously the words of fools. We do not need to take to heart the words spoken by fools. Positively, we should take to heart and take seriously the words of a wise man, because the words of a wise man will always be gracious. Why? Because the person speaking is interested in the person he is speaking to. So does the person seem thoughtful? Is the person just asking questions or inquiring to help? Don't assume that the person is asking questions like the questions of the enemy. Is the person inquiring? Is the person kind? Is it being reflected in his speech? Then you should, by all means, take it to heart. So the fourth word of advice is to consider the use or the usefulness of the words that are being spoken before you take them to heart. If they're useful, then you can take them to heart. You can take them seriously. Consider the source. Consider the circumstances. Consider the spirit of the person or the people speaking. Consider the usefulness of the words. Well, here, many of the words of men are not useful. Going all the way back to Greek philosophy, where the philosophers philosophized and spoke many, many words, asked many, many questions. They didn't have too many answers, but they asked some good questions. Just circular talk, the talk of the rabbis was like this. It just wasn't all very useful. And it turned out to be enslaving to people until Jesus came along and put them all in their place. So consider the usefulness of the words. Sometimes people just like to talk. A good modern example of this is talk shows. I don't watch talk shows, and I doubt any of you have time to watch talk shows, but that's the whole point of a talk show. It's just frivolous talk. People just talk in circles. There may be some tidbits there, but these days, this is not the kind of talk that we want to lend our ears to. We want something more useful. We want something more helpful. We want something more truthful. We want something more incisive. We want something more rational, more logical, as opposed to emotional. So is it frivolous talk? Overtalk? Proverbs 10 and verse 19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. We usually think of that verse in relationship to God's people. If I talk too much, I'm very likely to sin, and that's certainly true. Proverbs 10:19. But if it applies to us, it certainly applies to the unbeliever. It certainly applies to people of this world. And we see a lot of this today, a lot of talk, a lot of over talk, a lot of frivolous talk. Naturally, you have a lot of political talk, and politics is a necessity. We need government, but there's a lot of political talk, much of which is not helpful. And we could say a lot about that, but it wouldn't be edifying right now. So it's a frivolous talk, over talk, talk that tends to lead to transgression and sin. Again, Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 11. Says, for there are many words which increase frustration or hevel, vapor, transience. What then is the advantage to a man? What is the advantage to a man in many words? Just because people are talking. Ties to our verse here, 7:21. So are the words being spoken helpful to you? If they're not helpful to you, then I do not believe that you or I need to really listen to them. Go to God's word and find help from God's word rather than listen to words that are not helpful to you. So finally, and I'm sure this is one of those sermons that I will refine because I've been thinking about it for a long time, and this is what I have for today, but I'm sure this verse may open up a lot of avenues of thought for you. But let me just close then by stressing the importance, not so much of what people are saying, but what we say, by looking at two New Testament verses, and then we'll close. The first is Ephesians 4:29. Having received the due warning of Ecclesiastes 7:21, do not take seriously, do not take to heart everything that people say. Now the issue is, what do we say? What kind of words do we use? What kind of talk comes from us? Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no unwholesome or corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. So the subject here is your words, my words, what we say, not what we're hearing out there. And I think you would agree that if we are speaking to someone in this spirit, according to God's command here, then the people hearing us should listen to us. They should take seriously what we have to say, because our words are being spoken to edify the hearers, to meet a need, to give grace to those who hear. And we're not grieving the Spirit of God in our hearts, but we're walking, being filled with the Spirit. We have no bitterness. We have no wrath in our hearts. We're not slandering anyone. There's no malice or hatred. We're seeking to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving toward the other person, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. And if we come to others with this kind of speech, then we can pray that they'll hear us and they'll take it to heart. And the other then parallel passage is Colossians 4 and verse 6, which is similar, a little different wording. I'll start at verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So no need to comment on that. Those are two parallel. They are parallel passages. And so may the Lord help you to think through Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 21. In the light of all scripture, so that you might find some relief if you find yourself often tormented by all the talk that is out there in the world, that God gives you relief by saying you don't need to take it all to heart, everything that people say. Lord, thank you so much for this verse. We've talked about it in church for a few weeks, but now, Lord, I pray that this message will encourage us, Lord, to be careful what we hear and what we take to heart. And Lord, in every way, by all means, Lord, with all of your might, help us to take your words to heart always. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So